This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. This is Riyad Razazi. We're coming here to the walking upon the series, the upon the footsteps of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's a special Sira program which we've started a few months ago, and today we are with episode number 14. I hope you're all doing great, sisters and brothers, those on Instagram and those on Facebook as well. Last week we were talking about the sacrifice that the Sahaba had to go through. We were talking about the persecution and the torture that, you know, a lot of Sahabis had to go through. And despite all that, still the number of people embracing Islam was increasing, from 200 to about 300 number, Sahabiyat and Sahabis, both, you know, men and women embracing Islam. We talked about how Umar ibn Khattab embraced Islam, and before that we were talking about Hamza radiallahu anhu ardahu also embracing Islam. So Quraysh had to think of a way, right, to deal with this massive number of people embracing Islam. And all this happened between, you know, the third and the sixth year of the Bi'ta of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam. You know, between the time where Prophet, you know, when the Prophet received revelation, between the third and the sixth year of that period. So what did the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do? There was a lot of abuse. They started with emotional abuse, physical abuse, and they threw doubtful matters on the about the Prophet Muhammad alayhi wasallam, calling him names, ridiculing him, mocking him, insulting him sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So Prophet Muhammad alayhi wasallam had a mission, and he was, you know, he had to fulfill his mission sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he, alayhi salatu wasalam, initiated the very first madrasa, as you may call it madrasa, you may call it an institution, call it whatever you like. But it was a madrasa, like an institution where the Sahaba would meet, and where the Prophet whenever he received revelations, he would go and share it with the Sahaba and teach them about that which he has received sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That madrasa, or that institution called madrasa, it's a house. It is a house. Naam, it's true. Some of you already read it, mashallah, tabarakallah. It's the madrasa of a youngster. It's a home of a youngster, a young boy, right? A young boy who is about 17 years old, you know, 17 years old, yet he had, had passion and zeal and a vision, you know, what can I do to serve Islam, right? So Prophet Muhammad, this man, for instance, people are embracing Islam, and they're thinking, what should we do to serve Islam? What can I do? What's my, you know, how can I serve Islam? What is my responsibility now? Abu Bakr Siddiq, as you remember, he embraced Islam right away. He went and he brought in six people, right? So this boy embraced Islam, and then he thought, what can I offer? What can I do? So this is, again, a lesson that you and I, you know, would learn, brothers and sisters. We're all Muslims, but what have we done for Islam? You know, like, what have you done for me lately? What have you done for Islam lately? What have you done for Islam lately, right? What have you done for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? So this man, he thought, this boy thought, you know, well, I could offer my home, I could offer my house. And indeed, that's what he did. He offered his house. It's called the house of Al-Arqam. And when you hear Al-Arqam, a lot of people may have thought that Al-Arqam, Dar Al-Arqam ibn Al-Arqam, you know, the Arqam, the son of Al-Arqam, Dar Al-Arqam ibn Al-Arqam. People, you know, tend to think, you know, whenever they think of Sahabis, they may, you know, visualize that they are very old people or middle-aged people. No, most of them were youngsters. Most of them were youngsters. So this boy, his, you know, this Al-Arqam, Dar Al-Arqam, the very first madrasa, Islamic madrasa, quote-unquote, or the very first Islamic institution, Dar Al-Arqam, this boy, he was 16, he was a youngster. He offered his house. You guys can come and use my home as a platform to teach Islam, right? So sisters and brothers, you can think of how you could serve Islam. What is your traits, mashallah? I'm sure you have some sort of talent. All of you must have some sort of talent, right? So what can, you know, what can you do to serve the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Think of your talent and think how you could be leveraged, you know, in terms of da'wah and whatnot. What can you do? You know Quran, why can't you teach Quran? You know Arabic, why can't you teach Arabic? You're good in, mashallah, management, why don't you offer your managerial services? You're good murabbiya or murabbi, you're good in public speaking, why don't you teach youngsters, you know, about public speaking? You're a good cook, why don't you teach cooking? You know, whatever, learn, do something, you know, for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I mean, cooking, yeah, why not, right? So whatever it is, you can just say, I'm a layman, there's nothing I could do, right? No, think of what you're good at and offer it, you know, and present it. And you don't know what Allah Azza wa Jalla will accept. This man, Al-Arqam, Ibn Al-Arqam, he says, well, the least I could do is I will, you know, offer my home as a platform, you know, for people to come and learn Islam. So there are I know many people, mashallah, they offer their homes, their basements for like a Quran madrasa, you know, after school, people would come, they bring in, let's say, hafid or qari to teach kids, and then they offer their basements or, you know, their a room in their home for you know, to teach Islam or to teach Quran. Maybe not necessarily them teaching because they don't know how to teach, but they say, at least I can offer my home. I can offer room in my home. I can offer that room every other day, 3 days a week, 1 day a week, twice a week, 5 days a week, between this time to that time, you know, as a madrasa, learn Islam, learn deen, learn Quran, weekend, right? Whatever it is, but just think of what can you do to serve the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's what this boy did. Al-Arqam ibn al-Arqam, what can I do? So he served, he offered his home to the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam. By the way, the home of Al-Arqam still exists. It is not, you know, the same like home, of course. A lot of changes, you know, it's in the Haram, but very close to the Kaaba, right? They have changed, of course, the structure, you know, there. It's part of a huge building now. But that home, it's still there. You know, that location, it's still there in Mecca. Brothers and sisters, those of you on Instagram and those of you on Facebook, I have a question. Why Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not use the house of Abu Bakr to teach Islam? Abu Bakr, for instance. Or maybe his home, the home of Khadija, right? The home of Khadija. Why? Or the home of Umar? Or the home of Hamza, or the home of Abu Bakr, his best friend. Why didn't he use those homes as a platform to teach Islam and to teach Quran? Why he chose to use the house of Al-Arqam? MashaAllah, Layla. Yeah. Oh, I don't know how you read my mind. Yes, Al-Arqam was not known. Because remember, Quraysh, they were looking. they would stop such schools. They would shut down these schools or these madrasas or these homes. So they had their own spies going around, right? So Al-Alqam, he was a kid. Nobody knew him. He was not known. So Prophet Muhammad also, it was a smart move from the Prophet alayhi salam to use the house of Al-Alqam not only a platform to teach Islam, but also is a managerial strategic idea from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nobody would think of Al-Arqam, the house of Al-Arqam, so we could use that home peacefully and we would not be disturbed. So this is one of the reasons also why Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used the house of Al-Arqam ibn Al-Arqam. What is the results? Islam kept increasing. Islam and the Muslims, they kept increasing. 200-300 people, from 200 to another 100 people embraced Islam. People will learn from the house of Al-Arqam, the house of Al-Arqam, and they will go for da'wah. They will learn, right? And then they go and practice what they have learned. They learn Quran, yalla, bismillah, go and practice what you've learned. Go give da'wah. Go teach to others. So the Islam kept, the Islam kept increasing, or the number of Muslims kept increasing. Also, another beautiful thing that happened between the Sahaba at the time, that House of Al-Arqam also built unity amongst the Sahaba. It built love and closeness. They were not only segregated, but they were scared, terrified. A lot of them were, disclosing their faith, of course. So the House of Al-Arqam, they would meet and they will share, their own stories, their own lives and worries and concerns, and it also built, like I said, that brotherhood between them, that unity between them. So it brought love, not only education, but also a social gathering between the Sahaba. They could not meet, for instance, by the Kaaba to talk about Islam and to teach the Quran to each other. No, they couldn't do that. So, but in that house, it was like a lounge for them to meet and talk and greet and whatnot. Radiallahu anhum warza. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started revealing some surahs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed Surah Al-Asr. Wal-Asr, innal insana lafi khusr illa alladhina amanu wa amilu s-salihat wa tawasaw bil-haqq wa tawasaw bil-sabr tawasaw bil-haqq wa tawasaw bil-sabr. So they're giving advice to one another with what? With haqq. Let's remain on the truth. Yeah, it's going to be tough. It's going to be hard. Our parents may desert us. Quraysh may torture us. They may persecute us. But we are on the truth. And they also give advice to one another with watawasaw bis-sabr. Tawasaw bis-sabr, with patience. We need to be patient. Going through this hardship. We need to be. We need to persevere going through this torture and whatnot. So it was, again, Surah Al-Asr came at the right time, the right place for the Sahaba. Surah Ar-Rum. Rum, yes, Surah Ar-Rum also. غُلِبَتِ الْأَلِفْ لَمْ مِيمْ غُلِبَتِ الْرُوم فِي أَدْنَ الْأَرْضِ. Surah Ar-Rum, why? Why the Surah or chapter of Ar-Rum? Let the Prophet Muhammad and the Sahaba to know what's going on internationally. Not only within the Arab Peninsula, but also internationally. What's happening here, what's happening there, what's happening like now today. We want to, like, what's happening in the US, what's happening in the UK, what's happening here. Now we have social media. You get to know. But there, so the Sahaba, they know what's happening within the Arabs, Arab Peninsula, just within, their general vicinity. But here, غُلَبِتْ الرُّومِ. So internationally, what's also happening internationally. This will serve a lot, great deal to the Prophet Muhammad. You will see how it will serve. Great deal to the Sahaba and to Prophet Muhammad. Also, Surah Al-An'am was revealed. Surah Al-An'am, in its entirety, the whole surah talks about Tawheed, talks about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, talks about the Qudrat of Allah, the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But brothers and sisters, the surahs, the Mekki surahs, right? The Mekki, meaning the surahs revealed in Mecca, all of them speak about Iman and yaqeen. And, you know, it just talks about, you know, the decree of Allah, the faith, talks about empowerment. This is, you know, about energizing their iman, their faith. No, all the rulings were revealed in Medina later on, right? 13 years in Mecca, all about iman, 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 faith, faith, faith. Talking about Jannah, talking about hellfire, talking about Allah, and who's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, hijab was not revealed until they moved to, you know, migrated to Medina. Salah, you know, was revealed, but not the five daily prayers, you know, Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, that happened in Medina. Al-Jihad in Medina. Siyam in Medina. You know, all the pillars of Islam, you know, in Medina, except, you know, of course, the Tawheed in Mecca. So the suwars that are Mecca suwars, their main intent was to empower the Sahaba. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِيحُ الْغَيْبِ لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّا هُوَ. This is Surah Al-An'am. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا وَلَا حَبَّةٍ فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْأَرْضِ وَلَا رَطْبٍ وَلَا يَابِسٍ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. That Allah has the keys to the ghayb. Allah has the keys to the unseen. Nothing happens whether it's in the heavens on earth, except that it is in the knowledge of Allah. So Allah is telling them about, you know, Him being As-Sami' Al-Basir. Everywhere you are, Allah is watching you. Oh, lest, you know, oh, you Sahaba, oh, you people, you know, be vigilant, be mindful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching you and listening to you and hearing you. So this is all about, you know, empowering the iman of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum wa ardahum. قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي. Another ayah that was revealed while in the house of the Arqam in Mecca. قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Say that my salah, my sacrifice, my life, my death, everything belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, about faith, about iman, about empowerment. Empowering the Sahaba, you know, to put their trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِهِ. Then from the name of Allah, Al-Qahhar subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, فَوْقَ عِبَادِهِ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the doer, is the controller, is the controller of this universe. Nothing happens without the will of Allah azza wa jal. Nothing happens without the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. كُلُّ بِيَدِ اللَّهِ subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-kul بِيَدِ اللَّهِ. لا شيء يتحرك في هذا الكون إلا بأمر من الله. Nothing moves in this universe except with the will and permission of Allah. And the Sahaba were learning that. Where? In Mecca. Yes, Quraysh are persecuting. Quraysh are abusing. Quraysh, they are, you know, torturing. Yes, they're doing this and they're doing that. But at the end, العاقبه للمتقين. At the end, you know, everything will be for the, you know, the in terms of the winners. The winners will be the believers, of course. Rest assured, you're going through a lot of difficulties and hardship, but at the end, who's going to be victorious? Who's going to be victorious are the believers. Put your trust in Allah. Whatever difficulties you're going through, and you are going through difficulties, and you will be going through difficulties. Difficulties at home, your parents, your families, your husbands, your wives, your children, maybe, right? You're going to be going through difficulties. Stay strong. Be vigilant. Be mindful. إذا سألت فاسأل الله وإذا استعنت فاستعن بالله. When you ask Allah. When you seek refuge on Allah Azza wa Jal. If the entire mankind, they come together to benefit you, and Allah does not want to benefit you, you shall not be benefited. If the entire mankind comes together to harm you, and Allah does not want you to be harmed, you shall not be harmed. So this is what the Prophet was teaching them in that period, right? About tawakkul on Allah, about delegating their affairs to Allah, about the power of Allah, about that Allah Azza wa Jal is the not only the creator, the doer, He's subhanAllah, the controller of this universe. So the Sahaba, their iman was getting stronger and stronger and stronger. فَاصْبِرْ إِنَّ الْعَاقِبَةَ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Another amazing ayah that was revealed in Surah Hud. Surah Hud also and Yusuf, both swords were revealed in Mecca to tell them about, you know, the sacrifice of Yusuf alayhi salam, to tell them about the stories of, you know, of Hud and what he went through. And then at the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Hud, fasbir, and be patient. Innal aqibata lil muttaqin. Indeed, the believers, the muttaqin, indeed, those who have God consciousness, those will be the winners. The winners will be those who are God conscious, who have taqwa, lil muttaqin. You know? So all these ayat were being revealed one after another to empower the Sahaba radiallahu anhum wa allahum. Right? So how old is Al-Arqam? How old is Al-Arqam, brothers and sisters? How old was he at this time? How old was he? Guys on Facebook and guys on Instagram, how old was Al-Arqam? Remember, everything that they learned at that time gone into the book of records of Al-Arqam ibn Al-Arqam. He was 17 years old. He was 17. 17 years old. Why are you guys all gone 16, 16, 16? No, he was 17. Did I say 16? I may have said 16. No, he was 17. Was he 16? No. No, he was 17. I don't think I have said 16. If I said 16, because all of you are saying 16, or maybe you just copying, you know. But he was 17 years old. Let's say he was 17 years old. No. And by the way, Al-Arqam, he lived until the era of Uthman bin Affan. A lot of people don't know that, right? This man, he lived, this boy, he lived. He was 16 or 17 at the time when he embraced Islam, but he lived long until the era of Uthman. So that means after the Khilafat of Abu Bakr and after the Khilafat of Umar, until the Khilafat of Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu arda, serving Islam and serving the Muslims by something, you know, simple. Yes, he gave his home. He offered his home as a madrasa to learn the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By the way, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did not forget the good, you know. He was grateful to what Al-Arqam has done. So when they migrated to Medina, because the Sahaba, the Muhajirin, they left everything behind, right? So Al-Arqam, he left his home. But he, when he migrated to Medina, he has no home. But after the when they migrated to Medina, the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, he bought a house and he offered it to Al-Arqam. Loyalty, right? Loyalty and gratefulness, right? So he bought a home and he offered it to Al-Arqam ibn Al-Arqam radiallahu anhu wa ardah. And then another surah was revealed, Surah Al-Mutaffifin. وَيْلٌ لِلْمُطَفِّفِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا اكْتَالُوا عَلَى النَّاسِ يَسْتَوْفُونَ وَإِذَا كَالُوهُمْ أَوْ وَزَنُوهُمْ يُخْسِرُونَ. This is about those who cheat in ways, you know, those businessmen, because the Sahaba, they were mostly in trade. A lot of them were in trade, you know, those who are, you know, who embrace Islam and Quraysh, and you know, the main work, the nature of their business was just trade. So Allah Azza wa Jalla revealed this surah about those who give less in measure. Those who give less in measure, those who cheat. Waylun lil mutaffifin. Oh, al-wayl. What is al-wayl? It says that al-wayl is a river in hellfire, al-iyadu billah. You know, in al-wayl is a place in hellfire called al-wayl. You know, so waylun lil mutaffifin. Oh, to the mutaffifin, those who cheat in measures, those who cheat in measures, yani when they weigh things, they cheat while they were weighing their merchandise. Fil mizan, yani in the scale. But again, Islam was spreading and spreading and spreading. Quraysh, they are, you know, they don't know what to do. You know, they're stuck. You know, we're abusing them, we're, you know, torturing them and, you know, beating them up and whatnot, but still Islam is spreading. So they came, a bunch of them from the elite, Abu Jahl, Abu Sufyan, you know, like, but some of them, they went to Abu Talib they need to, you know, come up with some sort of agreements with Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. They needed to come with some sort of agreements with the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. So they went to Abu Talib, right? And then they tried some negotiations to negotiate with Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. You know, first of all, they said, make him stop. Make him stop, right? Just make him stop giving da'wah. Without, he's cursing our gods, yani the idols. He's cursing our gods, you know, he's cursing our forefathers. So just tell him to stop. Of course, he could not tell him to stop because Prophet Muhammad has a mission. So they went back again second time and they said, listen, we're going to, yeah, Abu Talib, here's Imara ibn al-Walid ibn al-Mughira. You know, he's a boy, young boy, by the name of Imara ibn al-Walid ibn al-Mughira. You know, why don't you take him and raise him? Raise him, let him live with you, and give us Muhammad to, we'll kill him. so you're gonna give me a boy to raise and I'll give you my boy to kill? No, wallah, I will not do that. Right? And then they came back and they said, they work out some negotiations with Prophet Muhammad through Abu Talib, or through his uncle Abu Talib. And Abu Talib, as you know, he was not a Muslim, but he was supporting Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. So a man by the name of Utbah ibn Rabi'ah, from the elite of Quraysh, his name is Utbah ibn Rabi'ah. He is an elderly man, and he went to Prophet Muhammad alayhi wasallam. He says, Yabna Akhi, oh Yabna Akhi, he's like my son, you know. Let me offer something to you. If you want money, we'll give you all the wealth. We'll make you the richest amongst us. You want to be our leader, we make you our leader. You want to be a king, we'll make you the king. Do you want to get married? We'll give you the most beautiful woman in town. Yani money and all that. You give me the most beautiful woman in town. No. Ask what you want. Ask whatever you want. كل شيء. So Prophet Muhammad did not interrupt him. He was listening and listening and listening. And then he says, are you done? Are you done? أهل فرغت؟ هل فرغت؟ Are you done? The man said, yes. But look at the strategic the way Prophet Muhammad عليه السلام is dealing with Quraysh in terms of communication, in terms of da'wah. This is another, you know, amazing leadership tool he had alayhi salatu wasalam. He did not interrupt him. He let him talk and talk and talk and talk. The guy was saying, if you want money, we'll give you all, you know, any wealth, all the wealth you want. If you want to be a leader, we'll make you a leader. You want to be a king, we'll make you a king. You want to get married, we'll get you the most beautiful woman in, you know, in town. Just name it, but just stop this mission that you're doing. So Prophet Muhammad says, are you done? The man said, yes, I am done. Then he says, okay, well, listen. And then he started reciting from Surah Fussilat. From Surah Fussilat. Hameem, tanzeelun min ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, kitabun fussilat ayatuh. He kept on reciting from Surah, you know, Fussilat, kitab, the book, for sale, you know, about the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he kept on reciting. فَإِنْ أَعْرَضُوا فَقُلْ أَنذَرْتُكُمْ صَاعِقَةٌ مِثْلَ صَاعِقَةِ عَادٍ وَثَمُودَ. And then the man made him stop. He made him stop. He put his hand in his mouth, you know, and he says, please, 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 stop. نَاشَدْتُكَ الرَّحِمْ نَاشَدْتُكَ الرَّحِمْ. When he reached this verse that says, فَإِنْ عَرَضُوا, if they turn back, tell them, I warn you, a punishment, the same punishment that was sent upon Ad and Thamud. And he knew this man. He knew, he's an old man. He knows about what happened to Ad and Thamud. So Allah is saying, قُلْ, say, أنذرتكم صاعقة. I'm warning you of if I أعرضوا, if they turn back, if they don't want to listen to you, Muhammad, if they don't want to embrace your path, tell them, warn them about the same punishment that happened to Ad and Thamud. So the man put his hand on the mouth of the Prophet, says, please, نَاشَدْتُكَ الرَّحِيمُ, for the sake of Allah, for the sake of our keen, our Rahim, stop, don't continue. So Al-Walid was there, Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira, he told him to stop, and then they went back. Al-Walid went back to Quraysh. And he told Quraysh, I heard so many things. I traveled and I heard and I spoke to people, but I've heard something that I've never heard something like it before. Yani, he's talking about the Quran that the Prophet was reciting. Innahu, it's the word has a sweetness in it. Has a sweetness in it. This word, this, you know, the verbiage, of this Quran, the wording of the Quran, it has a sweetness in it. وَيُعْلَى وَلَا يُعْلَى عَلَيْهِ إِنَّهُ أَعْلَى وَأَعْلَاهُ لَمُثْمِرُ وَإِنَّهُ لَيَعْلُ وَلَا يُعْلَى عَلَيْهِ. Nothing can go above it. Nothing can go above the word of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They said, سَحَرَك. They said, oh, he bewitched you. Oh, Al-Walid. Oh, Walid, he bewitched you by his words. يعني he played magic on you. I know. I know about magic. This is not magic. But they kept on. Although they heard, and they knew it was not from, you know, it is something. It's not from a being. It's not from a person. It's not from a human being. This words is definitely something divine from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they went back to Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. They went back to, in fact, Abu Talib. Again, some more negotiations. They said, all right, let's do this. Brothers and sisters, this is interesting. Look what they're going to say now. Are you ready? Are you listening? Those of you on Instagram, those of you on Facebook, are you listening? Because look at the negotiations now. They're going to take a different turn. Negotiations will take a different turn. And you can relate to this. Today in this world, whatever you're doing, you can relate to this, right? So you guys are listening, alhamdulillah. How about those on Facebook? Are you guys following? Those of you on Facebook, are you following? Right? Light spread. Everybody's audience from Indonesia. You're listening, all right. How about those on Facebook? Yalla, wake up, you sleepy heads. All right, alhamdulillah. All right, Morkani, you're there. All right, buddy. So they went to Abu Talib. Talking to Abu Talib, you know. They went to Prophet Muhammad, but via Abu Talib, because Abu Talib is like the middleman. They say, listen, we're going to worship his God one day, and he will worship our God one day. Just like, you know, subhanAllah, sometimes when, you know, some friends or whatnot, they may say, why don't you come and, you know, to our party, you know, and then tomorrow we'll go pray with you, right? But tonight let's go have fun and party and, you know, and go to the clubs and whatnot, and, you know, with this wedding, or, and tomorrow we'll go pray with you, you know. So here they're saying, you know, Muhammad, we're going to pray, you know, to your God one day, and you pray to our gods one day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ لَا أَعْبُدُ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ وَلَا أَنْتُمْ عَابِدُونَ مَا أَعْبُدُ وَلَا أَنَا عَابِدٌ مَا عَبَدْتُمْ وَلَا أَنْتُمْ عَابِدُونَ مَا أَعْبُدُ لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَ دِينِ Say, oh, أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ لَا أَعْبُدُ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ, I will not worship what you're worshiping, nor will you worship what I'm worshiping. Allah. No, there's no such a thing. In Islam, there is no negotiations. There is no negotiations with regard to our faith, our creed. It's either you are a Muslim or not a Muslim. It's either you pray to one God or don't pray to any God. There's no you do this and do that. لا مفيش. You know, there's only one God. Either you're a Muslim or not a Muslim. مفيش. That's it. They said, okay, well, we see that he's been, you know, befriending lots of poor people. Let him get rid of all the poor, you know, because we the elite of Mecca, the elite of, you know, of Quraysh, we don't, you know, they are the lowest of the levels, you know, the people that he's befriending, you know, because a lot of poor people were embracing Islam, a lot of slaves were embracing Islam. So if he gets rid of them, then we'll follow him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed in Surah Al-An'am, وَلَا تَطْرُدِ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ لَا تَطْرُدِ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ. Don't kick out those who, you know, worship their Lord and they call towards Islam. Don't kick Bilal. Don't kick him away. You know, don't kick them away. Don't turn away from them. Don't turn away from Bilal. Don't turn away from Ammar. Ammar was also poor. Ammar ibn Yasir, right? Where the father who died as a martyr, the father, the son of Sumayya, right? Sumayya who died as the first woman, martyr. So don't turn away from Bilal and from Ammar, from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, the poor people. No, stick to the believers. They kept on trying to negotiate and compromise with Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, but it wasn't going anywhere. So Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam had to think of a way to save the Sahaba, because they were still, you know, as Abu Talib was defending Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam. But for the Sahaba, those, you know, who were especially not like Umar or Hamza, but those, you know, the masakeen, the poor from the Sahaba, the weak from the Sahaba, who was really defending them? Because those were getting, you know, more and more abused from Quraysh. So Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam, he had to think of a way. He had to think of a way to save them. What is he going to do? Where would he send them? And why would he choose that particular place to send them to? And why he sent them to that particular man? Why that particular man? Why not anywhere else? Who's going to go with them? These people, did they graduate from Al-Arqam school? They graduated from Al-Arqam school. So now we're going to see the fruits of what they have learned from Al-Arqam school. Why? Because things will come into practice right now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the way will reveal two surahs. Surah Maryam and Surah Yusuf, Surah Maryam and Surah Al-Kahf. I'm sorry, Maryam and Al-Kahf. Why Maryam and why Al-Kahf? Why Al-Kahf? Maryam, okay, I understand maybe, but why Surah Al-Kahf? Insha'Allah ta'ala, we will resume our series and episodes of Upon the Footsteps of the Prophet Muhammad tomorrow, bi-idhnillah. We'll come back and, you know, and talk about, you know, all the answer all these questions, talking about the hijrah, the first hijrah, the first migration, you know, of the Sahaba to Abyssinia, to Al-Habasha, insha'Allah ta'ala. That will be tomorrow again, same time, same place, 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time, inshallah. You know, I shall see you, bi-idhnillah. I want to thank you all for taking the time to join me tonight. May Allah bless you all. May Allah reward you all. Jazakum Allah khair, sisters and brothers. This is Riyad Razazi. Have a great evening or day, whatever you are, whether you're from Indonesia or Malaysia, Australia, UK, US, Canada, Europe, anywhere you are. Have a great day or evening. Jazakum Allah khair, brothers and sisters. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. All right. جزاكم الله خير. السلام عليكم. السلام عليكم، ورحمة الله وبركاته. عليكم السلام. وعليكم السلام. باي. باي. Take care of yourselves. السلام عليكم.